Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the fifth video for the Old Testament Survey course. In the previous video, we introduced some major themes that summarize God's purposes and work throughout the entire Old Testament and the Bible as a whole. In this section, we're going to supplement that by looking at a few theological themes and ideas that run throughout the entire Old Testament and, to some extent, the Bible as a whole. Now, this is just a quick overview to give you an introduction to these concepts and to get you thinking about these ideas as you work through the Old Testament. And hopefully then, you'll spot them and fill out your understanding of these ideas as you go along. So watch for them and see how they are developed throughout all of your reading in the Old Testament and through the rest of this course. The first theme is the idea of covenant. A covenant is a formalized relationship between two parties. In some ways, it's like a contract in that it is entered voluntarily, it is binding, there are commitments that each side promises to fulfill, and there are incentives and punishments to motivate keeping those commitments. But a covenant is not a contract. It is very different in important ways. It's more like a marriage because it is a commitment not just to do certain things, but it is a commitment to a person, to be faithful to them, even if the actions change depending on what is best in each circumstance. A covenant is a solemn commitment to a person and not just a task. Covenants were a regular part of the Old Testament world. Some covenants in that day were between an overlord and an underling, such as between a conquering king and the conquered king, formalizing the terms of the occupation. Some covenants were between equals for mutual benefit. And most importantly, in the Old Testament, God makes covenants with his people. In the Old Testament, God makes many covenants, and God is always the one who graciously initiates the covenant. And they're always for the benefit of his people. Some covenants in the Old Testament were conditional, where the promises came about if his people kept their part of the covenant. And some covenants were unconditional, where God fulfilled his promise no matter what. And God was always faithful to his covenants, even when his people were not. Now, the second theme is the kingship of God. It is very clear that God is the king of the entire world. Even when people rebel against God's rule, the rebellion is never effective, and God remains sovereign over everything. Throughout the Old Testament, notice how God demonstrates and exercises his rule, and how that interacts with the human kings of Israel and the surrounding nations. And notice how God exercises his rule over the entire world. The third theme is the people of God. In the last section, we talked about God's promise to make a people for special relationship to himself, and the Old Testament is the story of him doing just that. He brings individuals into relationship with himself and thereby into relationship with the rest of God's people. God's people have special benefits as well as special responsibilities. They experience the benefits of knowing God himself and all that he does for them, and they have responsibilities of faithfulness and obedience to God. They have responsibilities to the rest of God's people to live justly and rightly, and they have responsibilities to proclaim God to the other nations and not to give in to their idolatry and wickedness. Now, speaking of other nations, the fourth theme is the universal scope of redemption. Now, this means that God's redemption is not limited to the people of Israel. Because God is the ultimate king of every nation, his salvation is for every nation. Now, that does not mean that every individual will be saved, but God's salvation will eventually impact every people group around the entire world. There is some small realization of this in the Old Testament, and the full realization of this won't happen until the New Testament. But it is made very clear in the Old Testament that God's plan and blessing was never intended to be limited only to Israel. The fifth theme is the idea of blessings and curses. This is always closely related to the idea of covenant. Whenever God's people are faithful to God and his covenant, they will experience the blessing of God in a variety of ways. And whenever God's people are unfaithful to God and His covenant, they will experience punishment in a variety of ways. God is always just to reward or punish as is appropriate. Sometimes this justice happens immediately, sometimes it is delayed, but it always eventually comes about. But cursing is never the end of the story, because God is not only just, He is also merciful. God's grace finds a way to bring hope even in the midst of punishment. And that's related to the sixth theme, which is sin and forgiveness. God's people are commanded not to sin, but we always do. Sin is always a vile betrayal and rebellion against a loving God, and it deserves righteous punishment. And sin always has consequences. But sin is never the last word. God is gracious and willing to forgive, and He has provided ways to be able to forgive while still being just. And that brings up the seventh theme, which is sacrifice and atonement. Because sin is so serious, for even the smallest of sins, something has to die. Now, it would be right for God to require the death of every person who commits every sin. But in the Old Testament, He graciously provided an alternative, a substitute death of an animal in place of the person who deserved to die. God makes it clear that death is the result of sin, but through the death of a sacrificial animal, a person's sin may be covered. And the term for this covering of sin by a sacrifice is atonement. And God has provided and described the proper manner to make atonement for sins. Now, as you read the Old Testament, notice how God deals with sin for His wayward people, and how this sets the stage for the ultimate sacrifice of atonement fulfilled by Jesus on the cross. And the final theme I want to mention is holiness. God is holy, and He requires His people to be holy. But what is holiness? The word holy describes a fundamental characteristic of God Himself. Holiness basically means one of a kind, set aside as special, separate from what is common and normal. It means to be in a class by itself, which God is. Therefore, when God requires His people to be holy, He wants them to live differently than the surrounding nations. Instead, His people should conform to His character, which is absolute moral purity. Therefore, secondarily, the word holiness means moral purity and freedom from compromise and blemish. So notice how holiness is described and demonstrated in your reading of the Old Testament. Now, there are other major theological ideas in the Old Testament, but these are the main ones that you should be aware of and trace through in this course. So now, let's review. The eight themes we have looked at are covenant, kingship of God, people of God, the universal scope of God's work, blessings and cursing, sin and forgiveness, sacrifice and atonement, and holiness. Again, we'll see how all these ideas are developed as we work through the rest of this course. But that's all for this section. In the next section, we'll look at the geography of the Old Testament world, that is, the physical location where all these events took place. Thanks for watching.